When a tree is ailing, it's a good idea to talk to an arborist. And I happen to know a good one. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, Mr. Arborist, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It is Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Murph.
Hello, Arborist Ho.
Ahoy there.
Yay.
Today on GLT's Grow, we have two questions dealing with trees submitted at wglt.org/grow. The first is coming from Kevin in Normal, and he says, once it became hot, which is actually a little while ago, our neighbors lost three trees. He says two are deciduous, one is a conifer. He says he's not doing anything about it, his neighbor, and he's afraid his trees are going to get sick. He says, who should I call to come take a look at these, and what can I do?
Okay, well, I think that there's a lot of stuff in here we can address for you, Kevin. First and most importantly, to help alleviate any stress you might have, tree diseases are usually specific to a particular tree. Maple to maple, ash to ash.
Dust to dust.
Dust to dust. Oh, thank you, Laura. That's great. So it's not going to go from the evergreen to the deciduous tree. That would be very unusual and very rare. I want to help you, Kevin, so give me a little more information. Were these trees close to the house or out in the yard? Were they newly planted or were they existing and they remained after they constructed the homes? He's near the Constitution Trail area of the local community that we're sitting in now, Laura.
Normal. And
that's a newer subdivision, but the trees in that neighborhood are already over 20 feet tall, you know, so it's been there for a little while. Sometimes there can be issues related to new construction, and it has a negative impact on trees. But the important thing to know is there's really no defense you can put up to defend yourself from your neighbor's errors or your neighbor's best of intentions.
Yeah, you can't put a bubble over your house.
Right, and because the diseases aren't going to go from different trees typically, I think that you're okay.
But if he is worried and maybe he does have the same trees, maybe he should consult an arborist?
I think that's a great idea. You can look up local arborists that are for hire through the ISA website. That's the International Society of Arboriculture. That's the main organization that licenses and maintains the credentials for people that are arborists. And they're all different kinds. There's ornamental and horticulture landscape type arborists.
Oh.
And then there's utility arborists that are specialists. We're working around electrical lines. There are municipal arborists, people that specialize in maintaining large populations of trees for villages and towns and cities and things like that. And there's some that are all. You can be a master arborist and have all of those credentials.
I am a master arborist.
Hey, thank you so much, Kevin. We loved your question. And again, you can send us more information about your trees if you want further information. Now, you're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. And this week, we're talking about a couple of great questions that are sent to us about trees. The other one comes from Dave from Overland Park, Kansas. He says he's got what appears to be an ailing ginkgo in his front yard. It was planted last fall, looked great. And then this summer, it started to look icky. The leaves started to turn yellow. The crown started to lose sections of leaves little by little. And it's just not looking all that good. And he thinks this is transplant shock. And the field was field-grown stock. And it was a big tree as well, 15 to 20 feet tall. So he wants to know if this is stress or maybe disease, and if he believes a large-size transplant can recover there in the Kansas City area, where he says ginkgos tend to grow pretty well.
That's right. They're a reliable tree in that area. And I can tell you that this area that we're talking about, this Overland Park area and the residential area in particular, this is remote. These are extreme conditions. Flatline winds probably during any season of the year can be extreme. But I was just trying to do some detective work in between the sentences and kind of come up with my own theory.
Did you get security on that from Grow Corporate?
Grow Corporate sent a couple of armed guards out to Overland Park, Kansas, and we did a flyby at about 300 feet, and I've seen everything that could be seen there.
All right.
No, I just made that part up. That would be so cool if they would give us that chopper just for one day.
Wouldn't
or at
least
that be
a
awesome?
Drone.
I know. That'd be kind of cool. But this area has the very nice landscape that appears to be irrigated because everything around it is literally the Great Prairie. I don't know if it's the Great Kanza Prairie, but it's definitely the prairie with all of the contours and the rolling basins, if you will, and lots of different kinds of prairie vegetation and very few trees. So that's one thing I was able to deduct from the information that Davis shared with us. He also indicated that the tree was planted in the fall. Typically, ginkgo trees and a lot of other trees that are sold as shade trees, bald and burlapped, are harvested in the spring. They're cut from the ground and their roots in the spring. So if you buy a tree in the fall that was harvested in the spring, it could have been sitting out in a landscape yard or a nursery or a retail yard for a long time. And that could be one issue that developed that would be a chink in the armor, right? A little weakness because the tree started out under stress because it was cut from its own roots. Now, in contrast that to a container-grown tree, they are not cut from their own roots. They're in the pot that you buy the tree in.
So if he had gotten a smaller one from a pot, maybe...
Establishment could be quicker and growth goes faster because it's kind of the opposite with the ball and burlap stuff. It's sleep, creep, and leap. So you put that thing in the ground and nothing happens. And then the next season, a little below ground root growth happens. And then the third season, you start to get some new leaves and stuff. Container-grown trees, they get established much quicker typically. But then I looked at the picture that Dave sent.
Which is on our Grow webpage.
Which is on the Grow webpage.
Yeah.
And it's a really helpful photo because I would like to apply some tribal knowledge here and say it, you know, it depends. But you know something I noticed? The way the branches are devoid of leaves in the photograph reminds me of some mistakes that I've witnessed in my own professional career that I was at fault for and I both witnessed. If you travel with a leafy tree any distance, even going a slow speed, you're putting a lot of stress and you're beating the leaves up if the tree is uncovered when it's transported. How would you cover a tree when it's transported? Well, they can wrap them like a cigar and have it sticking out the back of your trailer or your pickup truck. And, you know, it's like driving home from deer hunting with that deer on your bumper. Everybody's, hey, man, I got me a tree. Well, whatever. It's a good way to protect the tree and its leaves. And there's products called Wiltproof and Antidescant that you can spray on your leafy shrubs and even your annuals, your trees, to protect them while they're being transported. I think that there was perhaps some hot weather when this tree was transported. It was already perhaps weak when it was purchased in the fall after being dug in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was dug that fall and planted that fall, you're still dealing with a large tree that has been separated from its roots.
Which has got to hurt.
And the ends of the roots are where the water and nutrients are taken up. The thick, fat roots closer to the trunk of the tree, their main function is to hold the tree to the ground and hold it upright. Takes those trees longer to establish. So if you get some dry weather, some intense winds, some late heat, you're looking for trouble. And I think Dave has an idea of that already, but I think maybe the drive damaged the tree a little bit.
Okay, so, and if he wants to try again, he might want to consider getting one in a pot rather than one that's bald and burlapped.
The sooner they get growing, the sooner they're growing. That's right.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you so much, Murph. And thank you so much to Dave and to Kevin for their questions this week. Next week, we have actually another question from Kansas City. Neil is hoping for advice on selecting a hearty conifer. If you've got a gardening question or problem that you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form and send it along to us, and maybe Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. Submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.